tell you a little story real quick. Your pastor, Pastor Joel, okay, my friend Keitra over here, she grew up in this church. I mean, she grew up here. Then she moved to Fort Worth. And just in about the past year or so, maybe 2 years, she started giving me some CDs that say Pastor Joel Sims. And she goes, Terry, you've got to listen to him. It's like you, but in guy form. So I was like, really? So I would listen to him, and I'd be like, oh my gosh, that is so good. And so I'd start writing, you know, transcribing some of his notes and stuff. Well, then she would give me so many of his CDs. Well, then she started giving him some of my CDs. Apparently, he's been preaching some of my stuff. And so I was like, this guy's amazing. So anyway, and I don't know what he looks like. Have no clue what he looks like. I just get the CDs. So then I get this invitation, you know, Terry, they want you to come to Word of Life in Jackson, Mississippi. And I was like, yes, I'm going to get to see what Joel Sims looks like. Then I find out he's not here. So then last night at dinner, I'm like, Peppy, what does your husband look like? So she gets her phone out. She's like, no, I can't show you that one. No, I can't show you that one. He's the mystery pastor. But I just saw his picture in his office. But she did say it was an engagement picture, so it's kind of old, but still, he's cute. So anyway, it's just such an honor that it all finally worked out, and I get to be with you. So what I share with you, you're probably going to be like, oh, Joel's told us that before. But sometimes you just got to hear it maybe in a higher pitch or something, and then you get it, right? So we'll get started real quick. First of all, I just want to ask you, are your memories bigger than your dreams? Are your memories bigger than your dreams? Do you think more about your past than you do your future? Because if you do, it's just going to be a dead end. But you know, everything that God has for you is ahead of you. Everything. He's the great I am, not the great I was. He's the great I am. Everything God has is right now. But you know, I love what David said. Psalm 39:4, he said, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered and that my life is fleeing away. In other words, our time here is very short. We don't have time to waste. You don't have another year to waste. And you know, you don't want to repeat this year what you did last year. How many of you don't want to be where you're at today, next year, at this time? I know I don't. So we have to continually keep dreaming, keep imagining, keep preparing for whatever it is God has for us to do, right? David also said, I'm here on earth for just a little while. So your time here is precious. I mean, just last week, my family and I flew to a funeral in New Jersey for a dear friend of ours who's 34 years old. Think about, and you know, when you're at funerals, don't you just like, you comprehend how precious life is? That's it. That is the time you have here on earth to do something with your life. What's it going to be? What are people going to say at your funeral? You know? And so anyway, David said, and throughout the Bible, you know, God refers to our life as a wisp of smoke, a breath, a mist. There's one scripture. I'm a very visual learner. It says, life is but a vapor. Like, that's it. That's life. There's Terry. That's my life here on earth summed up right there. You know, when I saw that, I thought, I got this revelation that, wow, I'm really not that big of a deal. You know? There's Peppy. There's Susan. There's Pastor Joel. I mean, it's like, that's it. I get a little choked up when I do that. But anyway, so the Apostle Paul, he said, the most important thing is that I complete my mission, the work the Lord Jesus gave me. That's the most important thing. He said, my life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. You know, John Bevere was at our church a while back, and he made this statement that I've never forgotten. He said, when judgment day comes, and it's going to come, when every single one of us are going to stand before God, and we're going to give an account for our lives. And he said, but when that day comes, you're not going to be held accountable for what you did on earth. And I thought, well, I thought that's what we're doing. He said, you're going to be held accountable for what you were called to do on earth. In other words, God may say, I called you to sing. What'd you do with your voice? And if you say, well, I knew I had a good voice, but I was so scared to get up in front of people. Yeah, but I called you to sing. That's why I put you on the earth. What'd you do with it? I called you to start your own business so you could actually finance the gospel. What'd you do? Well, I was scared I wouldn't ever qualify to do something like that. Yeah, but that's what I anointed you to do. So we're going to be held accountable for what we were called to do on this earth. Well, a few years ago, I was just in my quiet time with the Lord, and my dad has taught me that anytime you're just spending alone time with the Lord, expect to hear from him. Don't think that he just talks to everybody but you. Okay? He will talk to you. My sheep know my voice, right? And the thing is, we all want to know God's plan, right? Well, if it's God's plan, do you think he wants us to know it? Right? He doesn't want us to spend our lives wondering, what do you want me to do with my life? It's his plan. So Dad's taught me to always take a journal and a pen, and anything you hear, write it down. Even if you're not sure, is it God? Is it me? Is it the devil? Whatever. Whatever you hear in your spirit, whatever comes up, just write it down anyway. And get into a habit of practicing hearing God's voice. So I've done that, you know, for years. Just listen. And so many times the devil would tell me, that's not God, that's not God. Then later I'd go back and read it and be like, that had to be God because I'm not that smart. But one time the Lord said to me, I was just sitting there listening, and he said, when I know you're ready, get ready. When I know you're ready, get ready. So I thought, well, I don't really know exactly what that means, but I know the Lord's telling me to get ready for something, that the time to prepare is now. It's like the famous coach John Wooden said, when opportunity comes, it's too late to prepare. So the time to prepare is now. So I knew the Lord was telling me, Terry, get ready for something. Well, I'm such a believer in that phrase that failing to plan is planning to fail, that you got to have a plan. But do you know that every dream, every goal, every vision, it begins in here before it ever shows up out here? Everything, Pastor Joel saw that church in here, that one y'all are about to move into, he saw it in here before it ever got built, right? Every dream begins in here. In fact, I read something about the African impala, which I thought was a car, but apparently it's an animal. It said, oh my gosh, I've got hairspray all over this. Explain that to the pastor, would you? Okay. It said the African impala, that little guy can jump as high as 10 feet high and 30 feet long. 10 feet high, 30 feet long. However, it said you will find them in a zoo behind a 4-foot wall and they won't even attempt to get out. And it said the reason why is because they can't see over the fence. And they'll never attempt to jump where they can't see first. Interesting, huh? He has the ability to jump 10 feet high. But he's stuck behind a 4-foot fence because he can't see over it. And I thought, we're the same way. You have to see where you're headed before you start taking steps. And the place that you see it is right here. Everything begins in here. Your imagination is such a powerful thing that God gave you. He wants you to imagine your future. That's why he told Abraham, come outside and look at the stars. That's how many descendants you're going to have. He was trying to get an image on the inside of Abraham that this is your potential, but I need you to see it in here before it can actually happen. You know, when Disney World was opened, when Disney World had their grand opening, did you know that Walt Disney had already passed away? He wasn't even there for the grand opening of Disney World. So they had this big ceremony, you know, and they invited Mrs. Disney to the event. And as they're sitting there, the master of ceremonies, he said to Miss Disney, he said, you know, I just wish that Walt could have seen all this. And she stood up and said, he did, and sat back down. Where did he see it? Right here, in his imagination. Your imagination will work for you or it can work against you. In fact, my dad's dear friend, Pastor Happy Caldwell, he said, He was in Honolulu one time on vacation. He said he was down on the beach, you know, and he happened to look up and see this mansion on top of a hill. And when he looked up and saw that house, he said, "I can't imagine living in a house like that big." And he said he clearly heard the Lord say, "Don't worry about it, son, you never will." And he was like, "Well, what's the problem?" And he said, "The Lord said, if you can't imagine it, you'll never have it." Everything begins in here. Albert Einstein said, "Your imagination is a powerful thing." He said, "It's simply a preview of life's coming attractions." Your imagination is a preview of life's coming attractions. So think about that. Your imagination can work for you or against you. I read something that said, "Don't be like the guy whose tombstone read, 'Died at 30, buried at 60. In other words, for the next 30 years, he just existed. Did nothing with his life. Might as well say he died at 30, but he was buried at 60. No, we're going to do what God's called us to do. You know, my favorite scripture now has become John 17:4 from the Message Bible. It says, "I glorified you on earth by completing down to the last detail what you assigned me to do." Because there's an assignment for every one of us, and you have a certain amount of time to get it done. So you have to climb up higher in order to see this big picture. You know, my dad tells a story about these two little brothers who were so excited about this parade that was coming through their town. They could hardly wait to see the parade. Well, the little guy, the little brother, he ran outside and he couldn't see over the fence, kind of like the Impala. So all he could see was through these little slats in the fence. All he could see about the parade was just like what was right in front of him. But the older brother, who was smarter and wiser, he ran upstairs, climbed out the window, got on top of the roof, and could see everything. He not only could see what was in front of him, but he could see what was about to come. And so my dad was saying, in order to see the big picture, you have to climb up higher. You got to come up higher in your relationship with the Lord. Just spending that time with him and listening for him. Expecting God to speak to you. Expecting him to give you visions, dreams, ideas. So it requires coming up higher. You know, you have to place a high priority on thinking. You know, have you heard that phrase? Don't just sit there, do something. I'm saying don't just do something, sit there. And just listen. Get some quiet time in your life where even if it's 5 minutes tonight before you go to bed, you go in another room and you just sit there and think. And just listen. Lord, what do you want me to do with the rest of my life? What's your plan? What's the next step? If you don't hear anything, do it again the next day. Do it again the next day. Do it again the next day. But you keep doing it because God wants to talk to you even more than you want to listen. So we have to place a higher priority on thinking. Rather than just spending our whole lives being busy, why not get the plan and then let's do it? You know, I heard a story not too long ago about these people who were having dinner. And while they're all sitting at the dinner table, one of the guys at the table started telling a story about something he heard earlier that day at the bookstore. He said he was at the bookstore and he just overheard this lady walk in. And she asked the sales clerk, she said, "Do you have any books on Microsoft DOS?" She goes, "I don't know, like something DOS for dummies." She just made this passing comment. Well, here this guy at the table's telling everybody, she said that, and they're all laughing, "Oh, that's funny," and then they go on about eating. Well, one guy at the table named John Kilcullen, he didn't just think of it as a passing comment. He thought about it, and he thought about it, and he went home, and he thought about it, and spent time thinking about it. Then he came out with this, DOS for Dummies. All because somebody took the time to just think. Just place a higher priority on thinking. It says here that there are now 370 different dummy title books. There's dummy, you know, gardening for dummies, scrapbooking for dummies. There's everything for dummies. 31 languages these are translated in. And over 60 million copies have been sold. Not $60 million, 60 million copies. All because somebody at a table heard a passing comment but put some thought into it. Think about the God-inspired ideas that are sitting in this room right now. If we would just take a little bit of time to just think and listen and not be in a hurry, do everything we got to do today before we get to bed, got to get the kids to school tomorrow, got to go to work. But just what if it became a habit? Every night, I just spend some time just thinking. Don't you think God would give you some God-inspired ideas that could produce a lot of money too? Well, we have to place a higher priority on thinking. Abraham Lincoln said, if I had 8 hours to chop down a tree, I'd spend 6 sharpening my axe, getting ready, preparing. I like that. Proverbs 23:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. I looked up the word perish. It means die. I looked up the word die. It means kick the bucket, give up the ghost, pop off, choke, croak, cash in one's chips, and go bye-bye. So if we don't have a vision, then we're dying. We're dying on the inside. Well, remember the Lord said, when I know you're ready, get ready. I've even heard Pastor Joel talk about how throughout the Bible, God has given us success clues. He's given us clues in how to be a success. You know, like Joshua 1:8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you should meditate on it day and night. Observe to do what's in it. Then you'll have good success, right? That's a success clue. Well, the success clue that I want you to, and I know your pastor talks about this, is Habakkuk 2:2. Write the vision, make it plain on paper. How much more simple does it get? Write the vision, make it plain on paper. Why? So you can run when you read it. There's such power in getting your vision on paper. And it's amazing because so many people in the world, in businesses and in the secular arena, they have grabbed hold of a biblical principle. Write the vision, make it plain. They've grabbed hold of that, and it's working in their lives, whether they know it comes from the Bible or not. What do you think could happen to us who know God, know His Word, if we would do that? Write the vision, make it plain on paper. You know, it's like when my husband and I were first building a house. Well, we were building the second house, the house we live in now. When we met with the builder, the first thing he said to us was, what do you see? What do you see? What kind of house do you want? Tell me what you see. Well, he was talking about in here. But you know, I hadn't given any thought to it. I hadn't done any planning. I work a full-time job. I have a daughter who's in cheerleading, gymnastics, track, volleyball. You know, I'm traveling a lot. I haven't put time into planning the house. Who has time for that? My husband had done a little bit of thought, but he said, you know what? You're not ready. You're not ready to build a house. Basically, remember the Lord said to me, when I know you're ready, get ready. So he said, you're not ready. He said, I want you to go drive around, look at houses that you like, take pictures of them, put them in a book or something, bring them back to me, and let me see what you like. So Rodney and I knew, okay, that's what we need to do. But we both work full-time jobs. We would get home, you know, after cheerleading practice, after whatever, and I'd look at Rodney and say, I'm not in the mood to go drive around. He'd say, me either. Let's do it later. Then the next night, I'm not in the mood. I can't. I've got this tonight. I've got that. We can't. We'll do it later. Then it would be, okay, let's do it Saturday. Oh, my gosh, this is our only day off. Who wants to spend the day driving around? And then you might drive around and find, like, one house the whole day that you even, you know, want to put in the book. And so we kept putting it off, putting it off, putting it off. And you know what I discovered? We delayed our own dream house by not being ready. And you will delay your dreams by not being ready. That everything begins in here, and you've got to get it on paper. You know, finally, it took time for those builders to develop these blueprints. And it's going to take time with the Lord for you to develop that blueprint for your life. But you've got to get a vision on paper. You know, even when we went out and we took pictures of houses and brought it back, he said, that's not enough. He said, now I want you to go get magazines and rip out pages of houses you like and inside of rooms. And, you know, so we go to Home Depot and it might be $30 for those giant magazines and there's like 3 pages you like. And I found out you have to invest in your dreams. And for us, investing in hearing the Word of God, listening to the Word on a consistent basis just to build your faith up that nothing is impossible, that you can do anything God's called you to do, that's making an investment in your future. You know, speaking about the power of writing a vision, I read this story recently about Jim Carrey, the actor. It said that in 1990, Jim Carrey was a struggling young Canadian comic trying to make his way in Hollywood, 1990. And he was struggling. He had no money. And he drove this old beat-up Toyota. And he said every day he would drive that old beat-up Toyota up Mulholland Drive in L.A., and he would look out over Los Angeles, and he said he would speak to that city. This is wild. And he doesn't even know this comes from the Bible. He would speak to that city and say, I'm a good actor. The best movie roles are coming my way. He said he would do that every day, every night. And then he said he took it a step further. He got a check out of his own wallet, and he wrote on there, pay to the order of Jim Carrey in the amount of $10 million. Then he wrote down here in the memo, for acting services rendered. Then he said he postdated it 5 years forward, and he wrote Thanksgiving 1995. This was in 1990. He said he folded that check up, put it in his wallet, carried it with him everywhere he went, so that every day when he opened his wallet up, for whatever reason, he saw his dream. Every day. Then he said he would drive that truck up Mulholland Drive at night, and he'd get that check out, and he'd speak over that city. Does this kind of freak y'all out? He doesn't even know this comes from the Bible. He did this consistently. Do you know that by the year that he postdated that check, 1995, he had already filmed Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, Dumb and Dumber, and The Mask. His asking price by 1995 was $20 million per picture. He said that when his father died in 1994, he took that check and placed it in the coffin with his dad as a tribute to the man who taught him to not only write his dreams, but keep them in front of him. Is that amazing? That comes straight from the Bible, whether Jim Carrey knows it or not. Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision, make it plain on paper so you can run when you read it. There is such power in writing your vision and keeping it in front of you. And you know what happens? And you've probably learned this from Pastor Joel, but when you write your vision, like I have, and I brought some of these with me. I brought this Dreams and Goals notebook. We just came out with this last year because I'm always telling people, get your dreams on paper. Go online, find the car you're believing God for, print it out, get a notebook, a three-ring binder, and put it in there. Some people do it, some people don't. Finally, it dawned on me, part of my vision is to provide you with the resources to help you pursue your dreams. So we came out with this, and you know, what happens is, okay, I have my dreams in here. I have amounts of money I'm believing God for. I have TV equipment I'm believing God for. I have things in here that I see it in here. It's not happening yet, but I see it in here. And every day, I'm speaking over these dreams. In my hotel room this morning, thank you, Jesus, for that $13,000 I need for this. Thank you, Jesus. And I just confess them out loud constantly. Well, what happens is when you get your dreams and goals constantly at the forefront of your mind, you're thinking about them. You're looking at them every day or every week. You're constantly aware of what you're believing God for. It's like when you go buy a new car and then all of a sudden you see your type of car all over the road, but you never saw it before. Well, the only reason that happens is because now your type of car is at the forefront of your mind. Those cars were there all along. You just never saw it. Well, when your dreams are at the forefront of your mind because you're looking at them, you're praying over them, you're sowing seed for them, you're reading them out loud, you're going to see opportunities all around you that you never saw before. They were there. You just never saw them. But now you're aware of them because this is what's on your mind. So that's what happens. That's why I can say stuff I wrote in here years ago that was just crazy have actually happened. And I'm every year, December 31st, I'm going, Lord, I am amazed at what you've done in my life this year. But what you got to understand is that for like 33 years of my life never changed. Year after year after year. Same job, same marriage. I mean, I'm not saying get a new one. I just meant, I meant the marriage got better now, okay? But, I mean, nothing changed in my life year after year. You understand what I meant? Okay. I'm not saying every year get a new one. New husband. But now that I'm dreaming, using my imagination, placing a higher priority on thinking time, and it's not hard. It's not hard to leave your family for 10 minutes, 5 minutes, and just say, I'm going to go spend some time with the Lord. I'll be back. They probably won't even miss you. Just go in the other room and just spend some time alone. And get the vision, get the dream on the inside of you. I'm going to get through these other points really quick because I want you to hear these. So I'm going to skip some stuff. So number one is you've got to picture it. Get your dreams and goals in writing. And be specific. Creflo Dollar says, if Jesus himself showed up in your living room tonight and said, how much money do you need to get out of debt? If you couldn't answer him, he said, you're not serious about getting out of debt. But if you've already done your homework and you are consistently declaring, thank you, Jesus, for that $11,432.10, that just proves you are ready. So, Lord, anytime you want to show up with that money, I've done my homework, I studied to show myself approved, I'm ready. Right? I know exactly what I need for some of this TV equipment. I'm ready. So when the Lord says, when I know you're ready, get ready. So do what you need to do to be prepared. If you're believing for a car, find out exactly what that car costs. Get a picture of that car and you speak it out of your mouth. Get it in your own dream book if you want one of these. We brought 200 of these. So if you want to get one of these, there's a place for your fitness goals, your faith goals, your future goals, your family goals, things like that. And I teach how to set goals in here. Number two is start today. The reason I say that is John Maxwell said it's not where you start, but whether you start. Even if it's 10 minutes of preparing tonight, even if you just work on one thing, paying off a bill, and you get the amount of that bill, put it in your dream book, and just do the homework, write that amount. Even if it's one thing. You know, some of you, God may have given you a dream of writing a book. Well, what have you written? Are you waiting for that perfect day to start writing? Because it's not going to happen. You have to just start today because when opportunity comes, it's too late to prepare. You know, I heard a story recently about Hillsong. You've heard of Hillsong? They're known for the music really all over the world. And do you know that when they were getting ready to record their very first music CD, first one ever, they'd all been practicing. They had the studio blocked out for time that they could go in and record. And the week they were to record, the music director quit. Not only did he quit, but he took all the music with him. So here's this group of singers and musicians, and they're ready to record, and they have nothing. However, there was one girl on the music team who was the church secretary. And she said, well, I have a song. Her name was Darlene Check, and the song was Shout to the Lord. When I know you're ready, get ready. Because when opportunity comes, it's too late to prepare. She was the church secretary. Think about that. I just wonder, I'd like to ask her, how many times did the devil mess with your mind when you were writing that song? That it was a waste of time, nobody's ever going to hear it. Nobody cares what you have to write. You're not the leader of the team here. But she did it anyway. She wrote that song, put it in a drawer, and she was ready when opportunity came. So what is it that God's telling you? Get ready. Stop waiting till the opportunity comes because you're going to miss it if you're not ready. Jimmy Lyon says, tomorrow is the only day in the year that appeals to a lazy man. That's good advice from the little redhead, but I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. No, today is the day. You know, someday is not a day of the week. I'll do it someday. Number three is schedule time in your daily agenda. Schedule time in your daily agenda. Now, the reason I say that is never set a goal without scheduling a time to go after it. You have to be that specific. And it sounds like Pastor Joel and I are pretty much the same on that with the timelines. I'm very timed. But you have to schedule time. And the way to illustrate that would be, you know, have you ever gone up to somebody here at church and said, you know, let's get together for lunch sometime. Call me. Let's get together. And a year goes by. And then you run into them. You're like, I can't believe we've never gotten together. I'd love to get together. Just call me sometime. We'll go have dinner. Okay, I'll call you. And you walk off, right? 6 months go by. Oh, my gosh. We still haven't planned anything. I really want to hang out with you. Just call me, okay? It's never going to happen until one of you says, Thursday night, 7 o'clock, Joe T. Garcia's, right? I love Mexican food. But anyway, so it's not going to happen until somebody sets a time. a time and a place. Well, it's the same with your dreams. It's not going to happen until you say, Tuesday on my lunch break, I'm going to go to the bank and I'm going to open that savings account that I've been procrastinating on year after year. Tuesday, 12 o'clock. Thursday, as soon as I get off work, I'm going to sign up for those guitar lessons. Saturday morning on my day off, I'm going to clean that closet. That's my goal. Saturday, 10 o'clock. You have to set a time to go after those dreams or they won't happen. So we have to quit saying one day, one day. I heard one success coach say, when you get inspired to do something, if you don't do something about it within 24 hours, chances are you never will. And you know what that means? Next year at this time, Peppy could ask me to come back and I could say, tell me what's happened in your life in the past year. And you'd be exactly where you are today. We don't want that. We want to be able to look back year after year and say, I am amazed at what God's done in my life. I got that car paid off. I wrote my book. I got that song recorded. Whatever it is, I'm just about to open that new business I've been dreaming about for years. I got my degree. I went back to school. Whatever it is that you're believing God for. Number four is say what you see. That you have to speak it out of your mouth. You know, the Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. That's how we release our faith, is with our words. I love to learn from people that I admire, like Joyce Meyer. And she said that years ago, before she was a well-known minister, she would sit in her house with her list of 65 things she was confessing. And she'd sit on her couch, look out the window, and she would confess these out loud two times a day, twice a day. Then she'd go load the dishwasher, make the kids' beds, and it looked like it would never happen. And the Lord was telling her, you're going to have a worldwide teaching tape ministry. That was before CDs, you know, that your tapes are going to go all over the world. All these things that the Lord put on her heart, and she would speak it out of her mouth. I will have a worldwide teaching tape ministry. And confess it over and over and over. And she said, every time you speak it, you believe it in a stronger way. Every time you speak it, you believe it in a stronger way. T.D. Jakes said, it's not enough just to write it. You have to speak it. My dad, Jerry Seville, he says, see it, say it, seize it. You see it first, you say it second, and then you'll seize it. You know, I've done this in so many areas of my life. I've done this with our houses, you know, with the houses that we've bought or built through the years, me and my husband. With cars, I believe, for. I did this when I couldn't get pregnant. I had already lost a baby. They didn't know what was wrong with me. It looked like I would never get pregnant. So you know what I did? I wrote my vision. I said, in the name of Jesus, I will have a little girl with red hair, tall like her daddy, smart like her mommy. And I just... you got to be specific, okay? But you know, I wrote the vision. Lord, you said, blessed shall be the fruit of my body. In the name of Jesus, I believe I receive my little baby. And I just began confessing it. I sowed seed into every pregnant woman I could find. I hosted so many baby showers because they had what I was believing for. And do you know, God gave me the very desires of my heart. My daughter Cassidy is 14. She has red hair like me. She's already 5'8", and she's brilliant. She's smart. But I'm just telling you, God honors his word, but we have to do what he said. Write the vision, make it plain on paper. And then finally, I just want to tell you too, you know, you're going to feel a little bit ridiculous if you haven't done this before, especially the part about speaking it out of your mouth. You know, Romans tells us that we serve a God who speaks of non-existent things as if they exist, right? When God wants something to happen, he speaks it. So we have to do the same thing. So I can't even tell you how many times I may come home from church, you know, and my husband will go upstairs and play a game, and my daughter Cassidy will be in our bedroom watching TV or something, and I'll say, I'm going to go speak of non-existent things as if they already exist. I'll be back. And I go in the guest bedroom, and I'm just speaking these dreams out. But I act as if they're already done. So thank you, Jesus, for this $25,000 I need for this. Thank you, Jesus, that my car's paid off. Thank you, Jesus. And just speaking them out loud, and you do feel ridiculous. But God honors his word. I cannot even tell you how many I've checked off. So you have to just do what the Word says, whether you feel ridiculous or not, and do it consistently. That's the biggest thing. Consistency is the key to change in every area of your life. You know, they say it only takes one diet to lose weight. Just one. Which one? The one you stick with. They all work. Just stick with it. So it's the same with this. You know, you want to do it about 5 times and then just give up because nothing happened. I didn't get my car paid off. I did that little reciting thing she said. No, you have to keep on, keep on. There's some dreams in here that I wrote in 2007. And they haven't happened yet, but I'm not giving up. I've seen too many of them come to pass. So, number 5 is sow towards your dreams. Every dream I've seen come to pass in my life has required that I sow a seed for it. My dad has taught me that you may not have what you need, but you are never without the seed that will produce it. You're never without the seed that will produce it. You know, if I was believing for some apple trees in my backyard, I couldn't just get a picture of an apple tree, speak to the ground, and command apple trees to grow. I have to sow a seed for it. So you have to sow seed for whatever it is you're believing God for. And I'm sure y'all have learned from Jesse Duplantis. He comes here, doesn't he? Just that you have to name your seed. You name your harvest. That's why in the back of this dreams book, I put a place for you to record the seeds that you sow. Name the seed, and what are you calling it for? What are you sowing it for? And what's the amount? Because that way you can hold it up to the Lord and say, it is written. I sowed this money for this dream, and I thank you, Lord. It's in your hands now. I've done what I need to do spiritually, so it's in your hands, Lord. Thank you for it. You know, I just want to close out with this illustration of everything that I just shared with you. Years ago, the Lord put it on my heart to write a book teaching people how to make your dreams bigger than your memories. Now, the reason why is because my memories were so much bigger back then than my dreams. All I could think about were the mistakes I'd made, the stupid things I'd done. I was consumed with shame, with guilt over my past. That's all I thought about. Every morning I woke up, that was the first thing on my mind, the stupid things I've done. So anyway, the Lord has showed me how to truly give my past a burial and move on with the plan of God for my life. So I just had this desire. I want to teach people how to dream. And so I thought, okay, well, I guess I need to just start writing because nobody's asking me for a book. There's no publisher saying, Terry, please give us a manuscript. So I just, you know, nobody knew anything about this desire. But I had to have integrity with myself. If I said I'm going to write a book, I'm going to write a book. So I had to schedule time in my daily agenda to write the book. So I said to myself, every Tuesday and every Saturday morning, I'm going to spend time writing the book. I can't tell you how many times I'd go in my little room there with my laptop, start to write the book, and just feel like this is so stupid. Who's ever going to read this book? What's the point? Nobody's asking for the book. But I would make myself sit there and write that book. On Saturdays, think, that's your day off. The family's playing, they're doing stuff, and I'm sitting in there just writing my book, writing my book. Well, then I had to kick it up a notch. I began speaking out loud over my dream. In Jesus' name, I have a publisher. I thank you, Lord, that I have a publisher for my book. They're calling me now, wanting my manuscript. And I just began speaking that out of my mouth. Well, then I actually finished the whole book, had it on my little flash drive, and I'm confessing, you know, I have a publisher. Then it dawned on me, I need to sow seed. So I sowed the best seed I had. I mean, not just, you know, some change in my pocket. I sowed the best seed I had into a minister whose books changed my life. So I thought, I want that anointing that's on them, on me. So I sowed the best I had and named that seed for my book to be published. Well, then, you know, I've got the little book on my flash drive, and I'm just believing God, confessing it every day, but nothing's happening yet. But I kept on, kept on. Well, then finally I kicked it up a notch. I said, okay, Lord, I'm believing God for my publisher before my birthday. It was a milestone birthday, okay? It's amazing being 20. Okay, I turned 40, so I was believing God, I will have this publisher before my 40th birthday. And I just kept confessing it over and over. Okay, my birthday is on September 30th. On September 18th, I received a contract in the mail from a publisher that said we would love to publish a book by Terry Savelle Foy, and we would like to speed it up for a spring release if she's ready. Remember what the Lord said? When I know you're ready, get ready. All I had to do was send them a flash drive. I'm already ready. What if I had said, oh my gosh, I knew I was supposed to write a book. It was in my heart. The Lord told me to, but I didn't think anybody would ever read it. I've been confessing this for months and months and months. Nothing's ever happened. Can y'all just give me a few months? When opportunity comes, it's too late to prepare. You have to be ready when God says it's time. So what is it in your life that God's saying, when I know you're ready, get ready? Is he telling you it's time to get out of debt? You've been carrying this debt year after year. It's time to get it. Let's get it over with. Let's make this the year that you get it done. Or whatever it is. This is the get organized. Get that debt organized so you can start chunking away. What is it that you need to do? It may even be a weight issue. And you know your health is suffering. And the Lord's saying, come on, get ready. Let's do this. Let's not repeat last year. Let's come up higher this year. So I believe, you know, the Lord brought me here to tell you, when I know you're ready, get ready. The time to prepare is now. Do you have my book there? You know, what's amazing is another thing that I began praying and believing God for. Thanks, Lucy. This is amazing. In fact, just this past Wednesday, I was preaching at our church. And my dad had asked me to preach a message on faith. So I preached on big faith for big dreams. And I found this vision that I wrote back in 2004. And I was embarrassed to even write it. Because a lot of times when you're writing your dreams, they're so big that you feel ridiculous, right? And you don't want anybody to read them because you know they're going to laugh at you. But I found this vision that I wrote in 2004. And my writing was just kind of to myself, you know, and I wrote stuff like, I'm embarrassed to even write this, but I know I'm supposed to write a vision and make it plain, so I'm just going to write as best I can see. So I wrote number one, television. I wrote, I have no idea why I keep seeing me on a television broadcast. I have no desire to be in front of people, no desire to be in the spotlight. I never have. I was a ghostwriter for 15 years for my dad. I've never wanted to be in front of people. I said, but for some reason, I see it. I see it so clearly. I even wrote on there, I can just imagine. It's like I can hear my dad calling me from overseas and saying, Terry, can you just do the whole broadcast this month? I'll do it next time. I even wrote that, okay? Just to let you know, I've been doing television with my dad since 2005, and I cannot tell you how many times dad has called me and said, sis, why don't you do the whole broadcast this month? But I saw that in 04. The next thing, I mean, there were a list of things, but one of the things I wrote was to help teenage girls who are pregnant before marriage and, you know, just things like that. And I wrote underneath, I don't really know what all this means, but I know that I'm going to help them somehow, either by providing them with material or funding, you know, pregnancy centers or something. And then I even wrote in parentheses, maybe even like Mercy Ministries. Okay, have y'all heard of Mercy Ministries in Nashville? Do you know that when I sent this manuscript to Nancy Alcorn, she actually wrote on the back, this is now part of the curriculum for Mercy Ministries. All the young girls read this book to help them get over the past and learn to dream. But God showed me that in 2004. Not the details. I didn't know what was going to happen. I was just writing the best I could see. I'm just trying to tell you the power in writing a vision. Write what you see, even if it is hazy and you don't have a clue how God can make it happen. I even wrote in their books. I said, I see books in bookstores, my books. I said, I don't know how. I don't have a publisher. I don't know how this would ever happen, but I can see it almost as clearly as saying I have strawberry blonde hair, red hair. I said, I see it so clearly. Last summer, I walked into Barnes & Noble's and there was my book and I almost started crying. But do you have any idea how many times I've walked in a bookstore and said, my books will be here in Jesus' name, then I go on? I say that every time I go in a bookstore. There is such power in writing a vision. And I know your pastor preaches this. So I believe that this is just going to reinforce it, to get it back out, speak over it, sow seed towards it. We just came out with this new series called Can You Imagine? And it's all about stretching your imagination and thinking beyond the realm of possibility. Because whatever God's called you to do, it's going to be impossible. It's going to require Him. And it's going to require faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. But He wants you to dream that big. He's a big God. So we brought this, and then we brought the Dreams and Goals notebook. And all of this together is $50, but we have a little package. We wanted to do it for $35. So when you get this package, you're getting the book for free. So if y'all want that, we brought 200 of them, I believe, for both services today. So y'all, I just hope that's a blessing to you. And that it will inspire you to do it. My prayer is that next year at this time, you're not where you're at today. That's what I'm believing. Why don't you all just stand up for a minute? There you go. Peppy, I forgot to ask you what time the service ends. Is it like now?